Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Hello there. Well, today we have a challenge before us, Raj. Our challenge today is to take a concept like consciousness and make it real, make it relevant, and make it interesting. And some folks, as you know, may have, like philosophers and poets and scientists, have spent their entire lives contemplating what is it to be conscious, what is it to have awareness, what does it mean to perceive, and how does it impact my ability to be happy, which is what many of us want in life. But most of us, you know, common folks, we don't really think about it. We're too busy. And I had a wonderful conversation with one of my very best friends yesterday on this concept of busyness. And everywhere I turn, particularly during this time of the year, people are scurrying around, taking care of, you know, family obligations, holiday seasons, children, work obligations. And so who has time to sit down and think about or reflect on what is it to be conscious? Most of us don't. However, for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it because we believe that consciousness on some level is absolutely everything, because it frames the perception that you have of the world, and your perception of the world impacts how you approach the world, how you engage with it, and to some degree how people engage with you. So what do I mean when I say consciousness is really that important? Well, put simply, consciousness is just the quality of our awareness. What are we thinking of? How are we thinking about ourselves in relationship to the world? So that means it's our subjective perspective, right? We each have the ability through our awareness to affect how we experience things, how we feel about people, places, and how we behave. And so, and you oftentimes see that in the context of crime, right? You'll have something happen, and then you'll have, you know, say 10 witnesses. Those 10 witnesses may perceive that situation differently because they're filtering it. They're filtering it through their own life experience. They're filtering it through their personalities. They're filtering it through their biases. And so all of those things relate to your awareness. So a simple way to think of consciousness is to say that anything we are aware of at a given moment forms a part of our consciousness.
Well, Perletta, this is quite a challenge that we're taking on this morning, but I think we're up for it. There is one caution as you're talking about, you know, when you said, yeah, consciousness is everything, and that's a pretty abstract concept because we don't experience it like that, like what you just mentioned. And there is one caution, and I think this is also very helpful, is that we don't want to view consciousness as a noun. It is not something out there. It is not an object outside of us. So instead of a noun, if we can just shift to using it more like a verb, where it's like we're consciousness-ing, you know, it's like it's not really like a thing. It's not like an object, because that's usually where our mind goes when you think of something with an N-E-S-S after it, like consciousness. It's like, okay, something outside of us. So this is the only way that we're going to be able to go beyond this entrapment within our mind of our thoughts, or, you know, within ourselves of our feelings and emotions. And then we can maybe begin to expand and deepen this level of consciousness.
So it's interesting that you say that, Raj, because I've certainly the perspective of consciousness that we're talking about is a creative one, right? It's not passive, and it's certainly not out there. It is the recognition that I'm creating it, even though most of us aren't conscious of creating it. That's the part that's really challenging. It does appear quite often like the world is happening to us as opposed to our being a conscious creator in the world. So I know I do, oftentimes, particularly when I'm stressed out, it's like all these things are happening. And the conversations that I have with people around busy professionals, quote unquote, around busyness, they feel like, you know, there are all these pressures on their time outside of them. And so they have to respond to those pressures. And so, you know, you can fill the blank that I filled with busyness with anything, right? Whatever that is that you're experiencing, that occurs, that it's like it's happening outside. There's an opportunity to look at what you're creating internally that impacts your feelings, your thoughts, your behaviors, that has you respond to it in a certain way outside. So you've raised actually one of the first points, which is most of us walk around limited by our awareness. And we don't have to be limited. We have a choice there, and that's the creative aspect of it, right? We believe we know a lot. You know, consider, you know, your teenagers. Many of us have had teenagers or still may in the house or will at some day. They walk around thinking they know most everything. You know, when they're little, they soak up information. They have an empty cup. You know, that your kids will look at you wide-eyed, asking you questions. Why is the sky blue? You know, and then at about, I don't know, it depends on the kid, but you know, somewhere between 13 and 15, many of them go from that to, they just discount what their parents or some other adults may say to them, right? Because they think they know. And then they start wanting to tell other people what they know.
Yeah, Perletta, I was one time, my son must have been about like maybe 4 years old, and we're at a pizza place, and he goes, "Man, Mom, why is this man pregnant?" You know, this man with a big belly. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's like, yeah, children, I think, have a much wider, a broader perspective because they're not as limited as we adults are.
Right. And we oftentimes can see the limitations in others more than we can see it in ourselves. And that's why we're mentioning this example. We can see it in teenagers. We're able to see it in our spouses. We're able to see it in our parents or, you know, the people that we work with, that they have a closed mind. But we don't often spend time looking at ways that we're closed, ways that we're trapped in a limited way of thinking. And, you know, many of us may be trapped by our senses, right? So our five senses, sight or hearing or tasting or seeing, our feeling. But there are other ways of being limited as well. When we think we already know something, we have a tendency, it's just human beings, to stop thinking, stop questioning, stop searching. And ultimately, we don't expand our minds and our thoughts and our awareness to the extent that we could. So really, that's what we're talking about on a very basic level when it comes to consciousness. It's emptying the cup again, you know, having a childlike mind and looking at being open to being in the question, being open to questioning and expanding your mind in the way you think.
Well, you know, the totality, Perletta, of our consciousness is composed of three levels. Basically, it's the first one is our subconscious. And that's basically a pretty relatively dim in awareness because this is just the repository of all of our impressions, of our past experiences. And these impressions are what bring up the tendencies of our, you know, of our thinking in a certain way, or of our behavior in a certain way. And then, of course, our conscious mind, this is our rational awareness that usually guides our daily decisions. It divides and separates our world into either or categories, and it's mostly problem-oriented. And then the third, of course, is the superconscious. This is the intuition and the heightened mental clarity. So this is what unites and sees all things as part of the whole. Problem and solution are just one for our superconscious. So once we understand how information is processed inside of us, I think then we can break through all these barriers and, we can break through these barriers of our distorted perceptions, which we'll get into a little bit later.
I was going to say, what types of barriers do you think you have, Raj?
Well, for me, the biggest thing is, okay, so I know that my intuition is always right. It's 100% right because it can see the whole. But the problem with me, the barrier I have is sometimes it's like, okay, is this my intuition or is this just me, my mind making up stories? I think that's where I get limited. And I believe that from what I understand, it's because the subconscious and the superconscious can feel somewhat similar. In fact, the subconscious can feel so real because the feelings show up in our body. You know, we can actually feel sensations in our body because it's been past experience. So it can feel very real, whereas to our intuition sometimes doesn't feel as real. So I think my biggest barrier is to be able to distinguish my subconscious from my superconscious, my intuition.
That's interesting. Well, and what that points out is that there's an opportunity for each of us to look at our own unique circumstances, right? Some people have a very deep connection to their intuition and they follow it every time. Most of us, I think, it's like developing a relationship. It's any type of relationship, right? It's and this is the deepest type of relationship one can develop, the relationship with yourself. And so when you're in that process of discovering your intuition and trusting it, versus that inner voice, probably the deeper you go, the more time you spend with yourself in that, the greater clarity you're going to get.
Absolutely.
I think many of us experience limitations, using the example that you have, and there's a gazillion others, because of that interconnection between our thoughts and our feelings and emotions. And sometimes we can get, when we focus so much on our feeling, we may discount our thoughts or our behavior, or we focus too much on our behavior, we may discount, the other aspects of ourselves. And then we can end up acting on automatic pilot, right, without really thinking. Then we're emoting, and then we're engaging in behavior that's not really balanced. One of the things that I wanted to give as an example, because I think it's really excellent in terms of how our consciousness has evolved as a group or culture of people, relates to some of the things we used to believe, like with Christopher Columbus, right? We used to believe that the world was flat until someone said, no, I don't think the world is flat. I'm going to think outside of that box. And, there was an adventure out, and now we know, of course, the world is not flat, and that we're not the center of the universe. That was one of the other things that we used to think collectively as people. Until we expanded our consciousness, our awareness, we pushed against the boundaries that were there. Like, no, someone said, the world was flat, and someone said we were the center of the world, and then everyone said, yeah, we all agree. And until we disagreed and we challenged those thinking, those ways of thinking, it's the same thing. So it's important to, I think, be aware of this, the possibility of consistently being in the question of you're already always thinking and you're already always being and you're already always feeling, particularly if you find that there's limitations. And one of the ways to be in inquiry about limitation is if you're finding yourself stressed. That's one of the things. Because stress can be an indicator that something isn't working for you. So how about one of the things I wanted to point out is that our thoughts are inextricably tied to our feelings and behavior, right? The three are intertwined. And some of us, and I use myself as an example, I tend to be more rationally focused. I focus on my thinking. And sometimes when I do that, I discount my feelings and or the way that my behavior may be tied to my thinking. And others may have different examples, but it's important to recognize that all three of them are intertwined. And because we often recreate the cycle of feeling, thinking, and behaving based on our level of awareness, it's important to expand that. So Albert Ellis, who is a famous psychologist and writer and speaker, once said, when you think, you create feelings and behaviors. And when you feel, you create thoughts and behaviors. And when you behave, you create thoughts and feelings. And that's so true. Mm. That speaks to, you know, the intertwining of them all. And so that's in part how awareness impacts everything, because it impacts your feelings and it ultimately impacts your behavior. And so does the other two. Your feelings and your behavior impacts your thinking. That's how, in part, we create patterns that we then live into, and then we sometimes can feel like Raj mentioned earlier, that we're at the effects of the circumstances because we've so intertwined our feelings, our thoughts, and behavior that we don't feel like we're in control of them or that we're creating them. We feel like they're created outside of us and then we're just responding to them. That is not the truth. And quite often the problem occurs when we create, and the Course in Miracles calls it miscreating, when we create ideas or feelings, and I'll say inappropriate feelings because they're not self-helping, like anger or terror or, despair. That's when we're suffering, right? When we create, and then we create behaviors that are counterproductive that leads us to pain and suffering. We're miscreating when we're doing that, and there's always an opportunity to turn that miscreation into a creative activity that's self-helping. Because when we do this, most often we're unconscious. We, again, believe that we're at the effect as opposed to being at the level of cause. And quite often what it takes is just a recognition, you know, an increase in our level of awareness that we have the ability to experience this differently, which will then, again, affect our feelings and then our behavior. But we can redesign it, right? And go ahead, Raj.
I think this, you bring up a really good point, and I think I just want to pause here for a second and let's just look at how we create within each one of us. We create an inner replica of the outer world. Okay, so what I mean by that is at any moment in time, okay, when we're looking at a situation, you know, your eyes can only really focus on one area. And so all the other areas are outside of our awareness in that moment. And now as we create the replica in our mind, you know, it's done piecemeal. So you might look here and now that replica gets created. Now, you know, you look over here. And so we're just creating it little pieces by little pieces. And now we've got these little gaps in between. So then we ourselves fill in those gaps, you know, based on our, whatever, our past impressions, our subconscious mind, or, you know, however we create those little gaps. And for us, it is so real. Why is it so real? Mm-hmm. Because we created it. But it,
it is real.
You know, but
right.
For us to actually realize that it just simply is not the way that reality actually is. So we take in a lot less and we hold in our mind a lot less than we think we do. So research shows, for example, like when people are shown a photograph and then you distract them for just a second or two, and then you replace that picture without them knowing it with a photograph that's just a slight variation of the one that they were looking at. Do you know that most people will not even be able to see the change at all? That's how perceptive we are. So it's important to remember, just when you're talking about these limitations, Perletta, first of all, let's look at, you know, when you talk about miscreating, let's look at how it got miscreated, you know, because and we're doing this day in and day out, you know, 24/7. So Deepak Chopra says, it helps if you remember that everyone is doing their best from their level of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
wherever they are. None of us have the truth. None of us have the complete picture.
And that everyone starts with ourselves, because I know most people are their worst critic,
mm-hmm.
right? And that critic starts in the mind in terms of their thinking
mm-hmm.
about themselves, particularly when we make engage in mistakes. So you mentioned the gaps, which I think is very interesting. I use the word
mm-hmm.
limitations, but whichever word that you use, you know, they occur as a result of our misthinking, our miscreating. And one of the most powerful ways that we can disturb ourselves is through our thoughts, whether that we have, you know, irrational beliefs, whether we there's a book called The Gremlin that I learned about when I was going through coaches training that talks about, you know, what you mentioned, which are those things you tell yourself really to irritate yourself.
mm-hmm.
You know,
and exactly.
most of us have that something we may hear in our mind that's consistently critiquing us and our behaviors, right? And one of the most powerful ways that you can disturb that is to dispute it. So let's talk about an example that we may have experienced in life. You know, something happens outside of ourselves, something at work. You know, you may, your supervisor may have agitated you, you may have got a demotion. During the recession, a number of people were laid off, lost their jobs. Oh, people lost money. You know, you pick the event. There's an activating event. And then you tell yourself something. The question is, what are you telling yourself? Quite often, and so taking the job loss as an example, you lose your job, and then you tell yourself, many people will tell themselves, you know, I'm a failure, or now I am going to look horribly, you know, to my friends and family, or something's wrong with me, right? If you tell yourself something, then you have a feeling associated with what you tell yourself. So
mm-hmm.
if you tell yourself, I'm a failure, or I'm broke, or I'm afraid because you might be afraid, but I'm afraid because now I can't, you know, sustain myself or my family. You're going to have a corresponding feeling with that. You may feel sad. You may feel rejected. You may feel like a failure. You may have some self-hating or self-loathing as a result of that. That speaks to the interconnection of, you know, something happens. It certainly may be outside of yourself. You have a thought about it, there's a feeling, and then there's a behavior that's going to be associated with it. Some people engage in proactive behaviors because they may be motivated. You know, a job loss can make some folks spring into action. Okay, they create a plan, they go look for a job, you know, regardless of whether they find one immediately or not, they're motivated to do something. Other people will respond and behave differently. They may go into despair and to depression. So the interconnection between the emotion and the thought and the behavior is really key for us to understand ways in which we're consciously aware of that, but also whether it's self-helping or self-hurting. So that's just one example of how you can make yourself upset. And there's a choice, because the person who gets motivated by the activating event makes a different mental decision and then behaves differently than the person who may go into despair about it. The event is the same, though, and the choice is where we have power to create something different.
You know what? I don't remember where I read this, but it just made so much sense. Water is clean, right? When it rains from up above, from the clouds, and it's very clean, but as soon as it hits the ground, it becomes muddy. And for us to be able to drink that water, that muddiness has to be cleansed, and then the water is going to come out clean again. Similarly, our consciousness is clean. It's so clean. But because it is contaminated with the muddy things of the material nature, you know, of our subconscious mind and our conscious mind and our the superconscious is the closest thing to consciousness. it is cloudy. So always know this, though. How will you know that you're connected to the consciousness, that you're actually aware, you're awareing, you're consciousnessing, I can't even say the word, but you're verbing it. And consciousness will always be substantiated by an internal experience. There's going to be a lot going on. And so if you've had a lot of stress, like what Perletta was talking about with the job loss and all that, when you are connected to the consciousness, it will be substantiated by an internal experience within yourself. It can literally shift wherever you may be, whatever disempowering self-talk you may be having, whatever you may be having. It is going to create this new internal experience. Does that make sense, Perletta?
Yes. And, you know, I feel called to give an example of that. I know for me, I lost my job in 2002, actually, at the end of the year. And, you know, there was the initial, like, shock and fear and, like, what am I going to do? And where I got to a heightened state around it, was around peacefulness. For me, I experience when I feel connected to myself at a deeper level, I don't worry. There's an absence of that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel at peace with what happens in life. I'm able to let go and trust that all will be well. When I expand my limitation beyond fear, I look at where there's opportunity there. For me, in every situation, there's opportunity. So when you speak to that, you know, that's what comes up. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. Most recently, there was a gentleman who kind of gave a chronology of his brain cancer. I think he was a writer or something. He did it online. And, you know, he wanted to give to show people like his experience of this disease that eventually killed him. But there was a way that he chose to experience the cancer that was going to kill him. As an opportunity to grow, as opposed to going, you know, staying in, because he experienced fear and regret and sadness and some despair. But he also decided, I'm gonna use this to be of service to others. And every day I'm going to choose to, you know, be as alive as I can be and to share who I am with others so that they can have, you know, some insight into what this experience is like. And that's really what we're talking about. It's, you get to choose. The most important thing is to be aware that you have a choice, and then because then you're actually at choice, and actually that goes into what I wanted to talk about before we close out, and that's how do you develop an awareness and expand your thinking, and it you do it by recognizing that we have a choice, because when you're at the, when you feel like or you believe that you're at the effect of life, at the effect of circumstances of life, then there is no choice. It's like the world is flat. Like we are the center of the universe. You accept it, and then you live your life according to that. You behave based on that. You feel based on that. And the interconnection keeps you locked down into that limited way of conceiving the world. And there's an opportunity that we each have to expand beyond that. But you have to develop your way of thinking and the way of learning and observing the world that says, no, this is happening out there. This is happening in the world. This is happening to me. However, I have the ability to perceive it in a way that empowers me. I have an ability to think of it in a way and to choose my actions to help me grow as a result of this experience so that it doesn't have to be self-limiting. It can be self-expanding. Any experience. Anything that happens can be a self-expanding experience, but it requires that you develop a way of thinking so that you're disputing those thoughts as they occur, because they occur for all of us. That's a part of the human condition. So I just want to offer two things that we talk about quite frequently on the show, and that's meditation as being a way to help expand your consciousness as well as having some moment-to-moment awareness. This time has flown by, hasn't it, Raj?
Yes, it has.
I wish we had more time to talk about this, but we don't today. Thank you for joining us on Living Life Powerfully. Next week, Raj is going to lead us in a conversation about death and transformation. She'll help us understand the common perceptions of death and answer the question, what are we really afraid of? So between now and then, please reach out to us on pearlrajradio@gmail.com. Have a fantastic and amazing day.
So long.